Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dr. Charles McCall is actually an engineer at the Argonne National Laboratory, and he joins us now on WGN. Doctor, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. I'm happy to talk to you this morning.
Yeah, maybe this is our second conversation. The first one for our listeners, but you're just another person featured in that Chicago Magazine article that came out last week, and it talked about how various groups in Chicago are on the cutting edge of the coronavirus fight. They focused particularly on Argonne National Laboratory, and they talked about the modeling that we are trying to do. We, being a bunch of people in offices, ain't me, trying to figure out what do we know. How do we apply it? What are the safety thresholds we're willing to, you know, impose? And then how do we all get back into our normal lives? And you can't do that without data and then the application of it and then the figuring of it. At some point, somebody, not you, not me, has to decide, okay, that's enough deaths or that's a sufficiently low enough number of deaths and infections, we can go back out. But you're sort of in the first step of that, right, Charles?
Yeah, that's correct. We're taking science, we're applying science to the overall problem of the pandemic, how the pandemic will unfold with respect to the number of people infected, the number of people who require hospitalization and become critical, as well as projecting the number of deaths that are possible under a variety of scenarios.
Under a variety of scenarios, right. So say we do have an estimate of the number of people that have it and don't know it or have it and do whatever. That's one variable. But then another one is, okay, what if they all stay at home? Or what if some of them go to school on even days and some of them go on odd days? I mean, you could project a whole bunch of different behavior scenarios, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And we're actually running thousands and thousands of different scenarios over all of the possibilities that you mentioned, including all of the uncertainties that are present from a scientific viewpoint in terms of how long people are infected before they're symptomatic, how what the possibility is of transmission from one person to another based on different social distancing measures that might be adopted, et cetera. And we're coming up with overall, we call, you know, I guess you could look at it like weather forecast, where there's right. kind of a most likely outcome and various different levels of confidence intervals, so to speak, confidence bands on what the outcomes will be in the coming months ahead.
So are you able to calculate what are the chances that I will pick it up at the Jewel grocery store if 60% of the people have face masks and 40% of the people don't?
Well, the answer is we cannot predict what your chances are, but we can include, yes, we can include someone of your general characteristics.
Sure, sure.
Who may pick it up depending on various assumptions about social distancing at the Jewel, as at that particular place, yes, as well as some assumptions on how many people do wear face masks, and including assumptions on how effective those face masks actually are at reducing transmission.
Okay, and that's just one scene, but I mean, so if the governor's going to decide what we're going to do and when we're going to get out, just think about all the millions of different human interactions we're going to have, that we are currently having. And are you guys drilling down that far to say, okay, how many grocery stores are there? How many people are there? How often do those people go to the grocery stores? When they go to the grocery stores, how likely are they to maintain a 6-foot distance? And if they do, what's the chance that they'll transmit the disease? And let's just throw in, some of them are going to wear masks, some of them won't, and some of those masks will be very effective and some of them won't. And that's just me going to the grocery store once every couple of weeks. But that's one of, I presume, the scenarios that you guys are having to calculate and then pass along to the deciders. Am I right about that, Doctor?
Yes, that's exactly right. And one of the, as new data are coming in every day on people moving, where they're going, you know, how trips are being reduced or possibly increased if there is easing, all of that information is being fed into our supercomputer at Argonne. And coming up with more, you know, let's say empirically based, in ground truth projection.
Like what?
And those confidence intervals that we have are getting smaller as the more real data comes in.
Got it.
In terms of projecting the future.
Yeah. So the more data comes in, the better you are about actually guessing with science. It's not a guess now. You're pretty confident about these projections that I'm talking about, and that was just people going to the grocery store. What's another scenario, another realm that you're having to calculate for the politicians to decide on? Schools opening up or parks opening up? What else are you calculating?
Well, all of these things that you mentioned, including schools, work environments, and general people's participation and, various kinds of social activities people participate in. We're including all of those into our modeling work. And there have been, I do want to mention, there has been various proposals that have been put out publicly by various people as to how to ease the current restrictions. In terms of both the time frame, basically the easing proposals go between 2 and 4 months, to return to almost normal.
2 to 4 months from now? 2 to 4 months from now, Doctor?
No, 2 to 4 months from when the easing begins.
Okay.
So, as we're talking about, we're wondering about, the May 1st, will we begin easing May 1st? Maybe not. Will we begin easing June 1st or July 1st? So we've run those different scenarios for when the easing actually begins.
And at some point, I presume, you'll run it, say, for 2 to 4 months, May, June, July, and those will maybe spit out different scenarios of infections and deaths. You're not the ones that decide what's an acceptable rate. Presumably, say the governor is of Illinois, but I wanted to ask you about these protests. Then, so people are rallying in Springfield, just a handful. I should almost stop saying that because it was just a handful of people, but several hundred people rallied at the governor's mansion in St. Paul over the weekend. There's a big rally in Denver. They rallied in Indianapolis. You know this, so I wonder. What rallies, two questions, are enough people gathered at a rally like that to change any of the infection rates in the state? Or what do you just make of the idea that we would, what does your computer say if we would ease the restrictions right now?
Well, you asked a couple of questions there. Basically, what the computer is saying, if we ease restrictions on May 1st, that we will get another peak that will be at least as large as the peak we've already had. You know, they talk about, you hear it on TV and things, the double peak. And so our results show that there will be a double peak, that May 1st is, quite early for specifically, again, Chicago, which is what our model is geared to. You know, we're not modeling all of Illinois or the rural areas, more rural areas than Chicago. We're talking specifically about Chicago here. And if we did open up later, June 1st or July 1st, that peak would be moved and shifted, and it would be lower. That would be basically what we call flattening the curve.
July 1st. You just said July
1st. Yeah, both June 1st and July 1st.
Okay, wow.
Would be
July,
flattening the curve.
I think that's going to be a tough order for the governor to impose, July 1st. I mean, I think Chicago's behaving pretty well, but I don't know if people have the patience for July 1st right now.
Well, I mean, I'm the scientist. I'm the engineer, actually, as you mentioned. But, you know, those are decisions that should be made by, our government leaders to, value the trade-off.
Well,
all we're doing is applying, the science-based information.
Dr. Charles McCall's on the phone line. He's an engineer at Argonne National Laboratory. He's involved, obviously, in the modeling. If this happens, then that happens. So that's the problem for the governor, then. Do you recommend what an acceptable rate of deaths or infections are, how high the double peak could go? I mean, are you advising them on that at all?
Well, we don't make any recommendations, first of all. Okay, I want to be clear, right? We're providing information, and the outcome of the model speaks for itself. I will say also that the governor's office is looking at other models. There's two or three other models.
Yeah.
That are also being applied to this problem. We happen to have the most detailed model, the most what we call granular model, and we're able to do that because of our unique capabilities at Argonne, with our supercomputers. So that's
you're able to run more scenarios,
overall,
sure, with more information. I understand that, but and so you're modeling for Chicago, but then maybe. Maybe people listening to us in DeKalb or Rochelle or Pekin or Carbondale or Springfield, downstate or west of here, maybe their desire to get out is a little more rational than the very densely populated Chicago, that the numbers would be different, right?
Yes, the numbers would certainly be different. And, that as the governor, that, he has to, make those calls, right?
Yeah. Maybe the individual mayors make those calls because maybe it should be made at a much more local level in that case. I'm not sure.
Well, and I just want to just make a point. There's a certain way this is supposed to work in terms of how science interfaces, with the government officials as well as the public. We supply the basic information, and then our government leaders, our decision makers, ideally, they would take this information and make those appropriate trade-offs,
sure.
Reflect the values of society.
I get that, but, we're all doing that. I mean, it's just that Governor Pritzker or Lori Lightfoot are the ones that, in fact, they do have to decide. Their thought on this matters. Mine doesn't. In a way, yours doesn't. If you're not going to tell them what to do, you'll just give them the science. What is the variable, do you think, that is most helpful or harmful in this? That is face masks, social distancing, the time element. What moves the needle the most one way or another, Doctor?
Well, it all boils down to the individual social context that physically people have with each other. Everything is so you have the number of contacts, of course, which is what the stay-at-home order is designed to reduce. The second part of the context is the nature of the context. So we could still go out and have contacts, but basically apply the social distancing measures, stand 6 feet apart, et cetera, and wear face masks, et cetera. So it's those two factors, the number of contacts and the nature of the contact, that are critical ways to think about what the stay-at-home order, the interventions have intended to do, to affect.
I want to put a call on with you, Doctor Phil. You run a bar and a restaurant, is that right?
Yeah, just north of Janesville, just in Wisconsin.
What's your thought, Phil?
Well, I think part of the issue that gets lost in the scientific discussions is is the right over a longer period of time of the government to make decisions for individuals. So I understand the need to move the peak, to bring the peak down. I've gotten tons of scientific information over the weeks, like everyone else has. At some point, give me the right back to open my doors if I choose to as a business. Give the people the right to come to my business if they choose to. And right now, those rights are being taken away, and those decisions are being made for people. And I think that's where part of the anger is.
You know, that sounds like me when we used to talk about smoking and non-smoking bars. You can't smoke in bars or restaurants. I've always said you ought to be able to smoke in a bar or restaurant if you want, and I'll decide if I'm going to go there. If it's a smoking bar, I won't. Leave it to the smokers. They can all go there. I think where you and I are talking differently, though, Phil, is that if you go to the smoking bar, that's not going to affect me. But if you go to the coronavirus bar and pick up the virus, you're going to circulate in the population, and now you're going to make me sick, right? So how do we get around that, Phil?
Well, we can't get around that till we can actually identify what population is infected and not, and we don't even have that. So right now we're working on quarantine of people without base information in the first place.
Hold on a second. I want to put Phil in there. I'm running short of time now. That's Phil, the caller. Dr. Charles McCall's listening too. Doctor, what do you say about the conversation Phil and I are having?
Well, I mean, Phil's concern, of course, is perfectly legitimate. You know, as a citizen of the United States of America, I would certainly, you know, sympathize with what he's saying. You know, however, that kind of trade-off is what the government officials have to do. And as you pointed out, John, you know, there's two aspects of this. It's like, my actions determine my outcome, you know, whether I get infected or not, right? But also, I mean, this COVID thing is very unusual because my actions could affect other people's and their outcome. And so it seems to me that the government officials have to consider that social aspect as well.
Indeed. Phil, thank you for the call. And, Doctor, as I let you go, do we know for every 100 people how many people have or have had the virus?
We do not know that, and that's exactly why, A, how many people have it is why we need more testing. B, how many people have had it, that's why we need the antibody testing.
Doctor, keep doing the good work you're doing. I've taken a lot of your time. You've been very interesting and I think helpful for some of us to try and make our own decisions. Maybe the governor's listening too. And let's visit again down the road, and maybe you'll have more data or thoughts along these lines. You're a very interesting guy.